Well, good morning again. I am Pastor Mike, if I have not met you, and I have the privilege to bring to you this morning's message and to talk to our graduates today. You know, I can vividly remember at least four different times where God led Sarah and I to a different place, into a new season where we've never been before, with people that we didn't know. The first was right after we got married. I did an internship at Reynoldsburg Alliance Church there in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. We didn't know the people. We didn't know the students. We didn't know anything about the church at all. But it was clear that God was opening up a door, and so we went. And we did our absolute best to jump in at the church, to use our gifts, to get to know people, to be a part of the church family there. And truthfully, it was a beautiful, impactful season. Then a year later, Sarah graduated from the Ohio State University, and I finished up that internship. And then we went back to Nyack, New York, so I could finish up my last year of seminary. So this is 9 hours away from family for the first time, really knowing no one as a couple, and we had to find a new church together. So it was another new season for us. Then the next year, I graduated, and God was going to be moving us again, right? Our goal was to get as close as we could to our family, and we landed about 2 hours from Columbus in a little place called Dover, Ohio. Once again, we didn't know anyone. It was very different than where we grew up, and the ministries were pretty different. And yet, once again, it's a new season, and we showed up at the church. We served God to the best of our abilities. We got to know people. We made some good friends. We became a part of the family, and we were there for 13 years. And then 4.5 years later, God was doing something new. It was clear that God was opening up a new door for us. And we moved to Toledo, Ohio. And we didn't know any of you guys. Right? And ministries are very different. And this time we brought 3 kids along with us who had never moved before. And it was different. And it was hard. And it was difficult. But now I'm thankful and grateful that God opened the door and brought us here to you guys. And I'm glad we listened and I'm glad we obeyed God. And now we came a part of the church, First Alliance family here. You know, it's not easy to walk in new seasons of life, is it? Change is hard, it's difficult, sometimes it's not fun, and it can be scary. And God knew this, though, and God gave us a beautiful gift of his church to comfort us, to guide us, to support us, to encourage us. We're all ages, from young and old, they all matter. Where men and women matter. Where diversity of culture and background and ethnicity is a gift. And it's a sign of health in God's design and purpose. And here at church, you are a vital part of everything that goes on. And you need others, and others need you. So no matter where you are, no matter what season of life you're in, here's my encouragement. Serve God and serve in his church. Our text today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. It's also going to be on the screen above you. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Before we dive in, we need to understand, why is Paul writing this? So Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth. The people in Corinth, they're having several issues and problems in the church. And Paul is addressing each issue kind of one at a time. And now we come to chapters 11 through 14. And Paul is talking about the weekly worship gathering of people and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate in the worship gathering, such as speaking in tongues without interpretation. That's not okay, not appropriate. Or being disruptive and speaking over each other, which is just chaotic and it's confusing and it prevented people from hearing the gospel. So Paul reminds and he helps the church to think through, what is the purpose of the worship gathering in the first place? What's the purpose of this? Like, why do we gather together? Why the church? And Paul reminds them, and this is the conclusion, that it's God's Spirit that works through everybody in a unified way for his glory and his kingdom advancement. That's why we gather. Let's go ahead and start reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 here. It says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. And he gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit." Okay, so since there is division in the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul begins with an emphasis on oneness in the church. And he points out right away what exactly brings us together despite our differences. And there are four things that Paul points out, and here's number one. Number one is we confess the same Lord. We see this in verse 3. We confess the same Lord. See, in Paul's time, unbelievers, they worshiped dead idols. And there were many idols, but now the believers, they worshiped the living God. And they belonged to the living God. And their idols never talked to them. But God spoke to them through his Spirit and also through the gift of prophecy. It's only through the Spirit that somebody can say, Jesus is Lord. So in other words, what Paul is saying here is once you say yes to Jesus, then you're on the team. Okay, and we're all on the same team. We're like Team God. Therefore, any division or any dissension among God's people, what it does is it only weakens the unified testimony of the church to a lost and dying world of people. Paul's second point to unity and oneness is this, is that we all depend on God. We all depend on God. You see this in verses 4 through 6. Paul tells the church at the Corinth, and this is the same thing is true for us, that we all have different gifts, different ministries, and different ways of working and doing things. But the source, the giver of those gifts is God. Okay, therefore, we don't need to compete with each other. We don't need to be jealous or spiteful of others. They have more people over there. They have loud music over there. They have more toys and technology. I wish we had what they had. I'm glad I don't go over there. No. We all depend on God. Same team. Church of Jesus is the same team, and we all need God. Paul's third point to help us focus on oneness is this, is that we minister to the same body, verses 7 through 11. We minister to the same body. The gifts that we're given are meant for the good of the whole church, the whole church. It is not for individual enjoyment. It's not for one-upping each other and selfishly promoting themselves. which is what the church in Corinth were doing. They were using their gifts to say, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look what I can do. And that's not why God gave gifts. It was to help the whole church. So whether you're an apostle or a prophet or a teacher or an evangelist, or you had the gift of miracles or helps or tongues, what Paul's saying is it really doesn't matter which gift you have, but you have a gift, and that gift is vitally important to the whole church and to the health of the church. And then Paul's fourth thing to bring unity and oneness to the church is that he reminds them that we experience the same baptism. We experience the same baptism, verses 12 and 13. That the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it occurs the moment that you say yes to Jesus. And the Spirit enters you, and he gives you new life, and he makes you holy, and now your bodies are the temple, the dwelling place of God. And all believers, okay, no matter of gift, no matter of location, no matter of what season of life you are in, we all experience this once and for all baptism. And you can think of it like this. I'm sorry, I'm a sports guy, so I love sports examples and illustrations. Okay, imagine this. You come across a basketball team and they're practicing, right? Everyone's wearing whatever they want to wear. You kind of pass them and you're like, okay, they're playing. Are they a team? Or is this a pickup game? I don't really know what's happening. But the gift of the baptism is like this. It's different on game days, isn't it? It's different on game days. Everyone puts on the same jersey. It's the same name that is across everyone's chest. Yeah, you're a team before, but on game days, and you're matching jerseys, wearing the same name, representing the same name, now you're really a part of the team, right? There's no doubt about it. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does for us. So all in all, church, don't miss what Paul's saying here. God works in each person in the church. We see that in verse 6. And each person has a gift. We see that in verse 7. And the Spirit gives the gift as he wills, verse 11. And that means you graduates, you have a gift, and you are vitally important to the church. It is for the good of the church that you discover and utilize your gifts of the Holy Spirit, that you put them into practice. Because when you put them into practice, what you do with those gifts, it's going to affect all of us, right? If you participate and you use your gifts, what it's going to do is it's going to strengthen and it's going to build up the church. But if you fail to exercise those gifts, then what's going to happen? Well, the church becomes weaker. And I want you to know that as believers, as people who have said yes to Jesus, you are part of the family. You are on the team. And the team needs you. And you need the team. And as part of the team, you're going to find friendships. As part of the teams, you're going to find accountability, which means you're going to find people who are going to love and encourage you and also call you out on stuff. Right? You're going to find a family that's going to be there. And you're going to find training and education and learning and growing together. And all of these are super vital and important to your growth and to your success. It's important to the church's growth and success. You see, the believers at Corinth, what they're doing is they're arguing over who's got the greatest gift. And since they're doing that, some people felt less significant. And some people felt less needed. Some people felt like they didn't matter as much as others in the church. But that's not how God designed the church. Paul then explains how each member of the body of Christ is together with this analogy of the body. Look at verse 14 with me now. It says, yes, the body may have different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am a part of the body because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand. That does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, well, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell something? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the most honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that if all the members care for each other, and if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, then all the parts are glad. So this illustration of the body, I think it speaks for itself, and I think you guys know this to be true, that every part of your body matters, right? Every part matters. It has a function. It has a purpose for the overall health of your body. If anyone has had a part of their body removed or a part that's not functioning or working correctly anymore, right, the body is weakened, right? Life is harder. And you know that this is not the way that it was supposed to be. The body has different parts. Therefore, different functions are needed, especially if it's to live and to grow and to develop and to serve its purpose. I mean, think about it. I guess I could learn to walk on my hands, but I prefer to use my feet. And I want to use my hands, you know, to type or to eat or to grab something. My ears cannot see, and my eyes can't hear. Ever tried to smell through your ears? So, hear me, graduates and church family. Every part matters. You matter to the church, and you are vital to the church. So, wherever you are, whatever season of life you find yourself in, serve God and be a part of the church. It is in using our gifts that we understand our role in the church. And your role, it may be different than others, but it's not less important. Some people's gifts are going to put them in the spotlight center stage. And other gifts are going to put you behind the scenes in the background. But I need you to know this, diversity does not equal inferiority, right? The diversity of gifts is what helps the church live and grow. It's what helps us have unity and dependence upon each other. And you need others, and others need you. The church needs you, and you need the church. And you may be thinking, well, what gifts do I have that the church can use? Let's talk about that. First, let me say this. From my experience, so much of serving and being a part of the church simply comes from a selfless attitude, a willing heart. Sure, I'll do that. I'll try that. Oh, you need help over here? Okay, I've never done that, but yeah, I'll do that. See, it's a willing attitude that's so critical. So my first thing for you guys is be willing. Show up. Let people know that you're here and that you want to be a part of things. Second thing to help you discover your gifting is the shapes test. Right? We've promoted this in the church. I think there's a slide for this so people can see it. This is an online assessment tool. It's called a test, but you can't fail this test if you're honest. All you need to go on is you answer a bunch of questions about yourself, and then it's going to tell you, it's going to help you determine the best place for you to serve and how to be a part of the church. And I want to be real honest with you here, church, that we are at a place in our history at First Alliance Church where we need people to help. That we need people to use their gifts and to be a part of this local body. There are a number of needs around this church that need to be filled, where we are lacking, where there are holes, and there are needs. And we need you to use your gifts and to be a part of what's going on. From simple things like cleaning and from work days, and I want to take a moment and thank everyone who came out to the work day yesterday. It was a huge help, and a lot was done. So next work day, let's have more people come. All right? We also need help in our kids' ministry. Working with our students. Serving in the sound booth back there. We could use some help. Joining the music team. Right? Working with Celebrate Recovery. Working in our women's ministry, our men's ministry. We even do something to help our students raise money so they can go on fun like trips and things like that for Life Conference and things like that, where we serve concessions over at Fifth Third Field Huntington Center. And it's not hard. All we do is serve popcorn and hot dogs and pop. But that is a simple way for people to show up and be a part of what's going on. We need people to help drive the church van. We have a need right now where we need people to drive the van to go pick up some people around our community and bring them here. It's not complicated, but this makes a huge difference. There's a huge need. And I promise you, if you come to me and say, hey, I want to serve somewhere, I can find you somewhere to serve. I promise you that. And I want you to know this too, that when you are using your gifts, you're going to experience God's joy. You're going to experience God's joy. I want you to think about this. Just imagine a church where members are interconnected and they're interdependent upon each other, where everyone matters and there's no room for ego, right? Where everyone's there to bring health and growth and everyone's there to expand God's kingdom. Everyone's serving, everyone is using their gifts, working together as a team. And so we win together, we lose together, we weep together, we rejoice together. It's a beautiful thing when no one's sitting on the sidelines. When people move from being a consumer to a contributor. If that's the church environment, think about it. That's going to be a pretty fun place to be. It's going to be a place of joy. There are a lot of things that I am not gifted in. For example, public singing. Can't do it. Fixing a busted computer or a program around this church that just decides to stop working, which happens more often than you'd think. I'm not great at it. I'm not good at fixing the air conditioner, ceiling lights. But you might be. And I may try to do anything that the church needs, but I probably won't do those things well, and definitely not for the long haul. Because maybe those are your gifts, because they're not mine. All I know is that when we're doing what we love, and when we're using our gifts as much as possible, it's going to be exciting. And it's going to be a place of unity, a place of oneness, and a place of joy. So graduates, as you step out into this next phase of your life, and church family, whatever phase of life you're in, we have a responsibility, we have a privilege to be invested in the local church, no matter where you are. No matter how old you are, no matter what phase of life, no matter the season of life. Babies, toddlers, kids, middle school students, high school students, college students, young singles, young adults, young married with children, right? Older married with families, empty nesters, senior saints, widows. Everyone is vitally important and needed and plays a huge part in the health and the growth of God's church. So graduates, jump in. Church family, jump in and be a contributing member of the local church, serving God with whatever gifts that he's given to you and wherever he is leading you. We all, think about it, we all get to be a part of how God grows his church of how God expands his kingdom. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.